Blog Talk Radio.
Today's episode of the A New Day Show. I am your host, Dynamic Daphne, and I am supercharged this morning for a number of reasons. But before I go into the reasons why I am supercharged this morning, I want to share from my newest book, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. I want to share the entries of June 6th and 7th for you. And June 6th focuses on the reflections on my brothers. In appreciation of you both, after a girl is grown, her little brothers, now her protectors, seemed like big brothers. To the outside world, we all grow old, but not to brothers and sisters. We know each other, each as we always were. We know each other's hearts. We share private family jokes. We remember family feuds and secrets and family griefs and joys. We live outside the touch of life. Siblings, relationships, and 80% of America have at least one outlast marriages, survived the death of a parent, resurface after quarrels that could sink any friendship. They flourish in 1,000 incarcerations of closeness and distance, warmth, loyalty, and distrust. The secret world of siblings. A sibling may be the keeper of one's identity, the only person with the keys to one's unfettered, more fundamental self. There's no other love like the love for a brother. There's no other love like the love for a brother. Siblings, the definition that comprises love, strife, complete competition, and forever friends. And this one is from one of the authors who just signed off as anonymous, and they didn't choose to put their name. But I think that's just a great contribution to siblings. Now, for June 7th, which is, June 7th is tomorrow. Well, I'll do that, seeing that I said I would. Deer Park, intense love does not measure, it just gives. And that's a quote from Mother Teresa. When I think of you, my heart expands and fills up with joy, warmth, gratitude, and unconditional love. The most important gift you gave me, you were so more than my grandparents. You raised me, always believed in me, and taught me what really matters in life. Loving, kindness toward others, honesty, justice, family, mutual respect, humor, freedom, and thought, and connectedness with nature and with oneself. Although we live in a small apartment, it always felt like the most spacious place to me. I credit this to our ability to make the most of everything, to celebrate life, and to focus on what we had rather than on what we did not have. We never limit ourselves to the unusual way of living. Our kitchen was our playground where we bowled, played poker, sang, and enjoyed grandmother's fabulous meals. Since we did not have a garden, we went to a nearby deer park every day, fed these wonderful animals, and basked in the beauty of nature. Unforgettable. I learned from you that true love means giving from a gracious heart, and that abundance clearly is an inside job. And this was from co-author Elizabeth Balcarzyk, Balcarzyk. I apologize for butchering up her name. So, and as always, you know, I've been encouraging you, if you have not yet picked up a copy of Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude, it makes a beautiful gift. So I encourage you to pick up a copy and pick up a couple of copies for a friend or a family member. All right, as I mentioned that I'm supercharged today, one of the reasons that I'm supercharged, I was part of a fabulous graduation last night. A group of community leaders in the Bridgeport area, parent leadership class 15 from the city of Bridgeport, which I was privileged to be part of their 20-week journey of transformation, graduated last night, and I want to give honor and congratulations to parent leader Jasmine Blackburn, parent leader Denise Burke, parent leader Kathleen Callisty, parent leader Tanisha Cohen King, parent leader Iris Correa, parent leader Priscilla Cummins, parent leader Magdalia Feliciano, parent leader Maria Gaijal, parent leader Ebony Hargrove, parent leader Francine Hunter, parent leader Mark Hoffman, parent leader Wandra and Cool, and parent leader Tara Ross Dickey, parent leader Shaniqua Rooker, parent leader Mustafa Salamuddin, parent leader Jasmine Thompson, parent Jasmine Thomas, P- parent leader Alicia Thompson and parent leader Gracie Woods. I am very proud of each and every one of you, and I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of this this journey with you 20 weeks ago. And I know that Bridgeport is blessed to have you, because things will not be the same in that city. So I tell all the Bridgeport officials, look out, because these are a powerhouse and they are going to be rocking your world. So I want to thank guests 845 for being in the chat, 880, and caller on the line, I'm going to bring you on momentarily, and I want to bring my distinguished, honored guests on. This phenomenal woman and I were privileged, and you'll hear our stories later on, and how we are connected. It's just amazing. And I am just so excited that after 40 plus years that we are going to be able to be having this conversation. But first, we are going to be talking about the amazing job that this phenomenal woman and her husband is doing for the elderly, because that is something that is well needed, and not every city or state or family gets to experience what they are offering. So without any further delay, she has been hanging out with me in the virtual green room, and I know they are as excited about this episode as I am. I want to bring on my friend, Rohima Rylanda. Hello, Car Fancy. Are you there?
Right here, Daphne. I'm here, girl.
Oh my God. I am so pumped up this morning. I am so pumped up this morning. You know, God is amazing. God
is
just so amazing. I want to allow you to introduce yourself to the listeners. So take a few minutes. Tell them who you are, please.
Hello there, listeners. I am Rohima Rylanda, formerly Rohima Kerfancy from Jamaica. Daphne and I, we come from way back when we were little girls with our little pumped-up selves. We were in the class, the graduating class of the LPNs in Jamaica. The first batch, 1970, we graduated. We spent 18 months together in a class.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I am. I'm a mother. I'm now a mother, a grandmother, and a business person. I have my own little home care business. I have been married to a wonderful man, and we are here living in Texas. Anything else you want to know, Daphne?
Oh, no, that's good for the introduction, and because we are going to be on for 2 hours, and what we want to do, we are going to spend the first portion of our conversation to talk about your home care business. However, there is a caller on, and I have the person holding on for 14 minutes. I'm going to open their line and to see whether they have something they would like to say, and then we are going to delve right into your business. So hold on, please. Caller, good morning. Your last four digits are 4720. Would you please state your name and where you're calling from? Caller?
This is Gail, Rahama's daughter. Just wanted to call in. I've been listening and enjoying, and I enjoy those two passages that you read, June 6th and June 7th. And the one for June 6th I thought was wonderful. I'm actually listening here. I'm in Orlando at work, and I'm listening with my colleague, and it was really so touching, talking about siblings and how much siblings and family mean to us, and it was just so interesting that was what you were talking about. But of course, because my mom is on, I had to call in.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I'll put you back in listening mode. And, you know, if you want to say something else, I think if you touch the number 1, it will allow you to raise your hand. Or intermittently, I will come back and open your line to see what you want to contribute. So thank you again for calling in.
Thank you. Nice program.
All right. So let's talk about your home care business. And, you know, we from Jamaica, we are so accustomed to be taking care of our elderly. So I must be honest to you. I was not at all surprised when I learned that this is the type of business you decided you want to devote your time to. And the caliber of service, as I visited your website and read about what you offer, honestly, I don't think any other home care agency that did not have the kind of upbringing that you have would have designed and structured their business this way. So let's talk about what you offer and why you decided you need to set yourself apart from everybody else.
Okay, when I came here, when I came to from Jamaica almost 20 years ago, I started working in the hospital. And what I saw, Daphne, was so different. And it was so different. I started first in the nursing home. And it was so different from the service that we give back home.
Mm-hmm.
We treat elderly with love. We treat them with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Our elderly are like our grandmothers and our grandparents and anybody's elderly. We take care of them like they're our own.
Mm-hmm.
And the service that was offered, it was so much different from what we offer. I remember one day I was driving home from work, and my daughter just spoke a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I called her crying,
mm-hmm.
and she said to me, "Mommy, what's wrong?" And I said to her, "Gail, promise me that if I get old,
wow.
and you can't put me in a little room at your house to take care of me, don't put me in a nursing home. Shoot me." And she said,
"My God."
She said, "Why, Mommy?" And I said, "It's rough, Gail. It's rough. The elderly here are treated like, I mean, we don't even treat our dogs, you know what I mean, sometimes."
God, it brings tears to my eyes.
I was crying. I was crying today. I bawled. Said to me, "Mommy, I promise I will never do you that."
Wow, thank God. Thank God.
I lasted all of 6 weeks. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't.
Yes.
I couldn't. My heart could not do it. Did not give me. And I started doing private home care. Started taking care of people in their home.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted it to be my own business. And one morning, while I was in the woman's house and she was sleeping, taking care, you know, I always have my Bible and I was reading and so on. I started praying and said, "God, you have to show me what is it you want of me. What do you want my life to be?"
Spirit
spoke to me and said, "Get your pen and paper."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Pen and paper, Holy Spirit. I am at somebody's house," and the Holy Spirit told me where to go and said to me, they have a legal pad in there. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit. And he told me what to write.
Yes.
And I wrote it, and he said, "That's your business."
Mm.
And immediately I called my son-in-law, that's my daughter there, that's her husband. And I called him, and I said, "Will you make up some flyers for me?" The flyers, and I started my business that way. I licensed my business in Florida in 2003, and with the same patient that I had, her son is a doctor, is still a doctor of pharmaceutical at Tufts University in Boston, and he wanted to put her in the nursing home, and she did not want to go. She became like my mother, my daughter's first baby. She had to have that baby in her. In her lap. It's a long story. I can't go into all that, but it's how God works.
Yes.
And he was going to put her in her home, and she called me. She called me Rue, and she said, "Rue, you can talk to Mike. Talk to him for me. I don't want to go in a home. I'm going to die."
My God.
They put me there.
My God.
Same home that her mother died in. She said, "I put my mom in this home, and I saw her waste away. And I couldn't help. And she died. She didn't last long. Please, Ru, talk to Mike."
Wow. I want to just ask you to stick up in there, because just last week I was up in Lee, Massachusetts. And I was in the pool, and I met a woman, and, you know, everybody who knows me know that I talk to anything that moves and breathes.
Yeah, of course.
And the woman enters the pool, and we began a conversation. And my friend went walking, and she came back and saw this woman and I in the pool talking up a storm. And one of the things the woman shared with me, she is now a social worker at a nursing home. And there's a woman that came, she was at home, and she was 90-something. She was not on any medication at home. Her son that was taking care of her at home was in his 70s, right?
Yeah.
And the minute she hit the nursing home, they put her on so much medication, the lady was sharing with me. And she said the woman did not last because the woman gave up. She did not want that kind of a care. And I don't want people to listen and think that we are bashing home care, because that's not what we are doing. We are just telling people to make educated decisions about your relatives.
You got it.
Because the best thing you can do for them is to have them be in their own homes and get them the right help there. And there are the right help there, but you just have to go and look for it.
Yeah.
So please continue with your conversation.
You know, I'm just going to touch on that point that you have. You know,
yeah,
you're not in the business, but you know, because you know the heart we have from home.
Yes,
and I'm telling you, this is what I keep saying to each family that I go to interview. I said, please consider what you're doing to your parent. And this is my story that I said. I said, listen, when you were a child, this is what I asked many of the children.
Yes.
Would you have liked if your mom took you to a daycare and leave you there and said,
never come back. Mm.
Okay, Johnny, I'll see you in 3 months.
Wow.
In 3 months, Mommy come and just say to you, hi, Johnny, and give you a little food and then leave you again. And by this time when Mommy come to look for you, she can't even hug you and kiss you because you smell.
Mm.
You never had a bath for a couple of days. The same, because you can't change yourself. So the diaper that you had on from 7 o'clock, you still have it on when she comes at 12 o'clock. You're wet. You have something in there that smells. I said, would you have liked that? And they said, no. I said, look at it. I said, our parents took care of us for at least 18 years. And some of us for even
longer. Some longer, yep.
We don't, our parents don't need us for more than, I would say, an elderly parent goes into a child's home. They might only live for 3 to 5 years in there. And most of them go in there, Daphne. They are able to take care, to help with their financial situation. They don't want to live with their children because they can't pay for themselves. They can't buy their food. They want to live with their children because they want a little love and a little comfort. Someone to hug them and say, Mommy, how are you doing today? You know? Someone, if Mommy is shaking, to say, okay, Mommy, sit here. You know?
That's
someone to have an eye just to look over her so she can play with her grandchildren, or he can play with the grandchildren and can, you know, relate to them. That's
just
what they want.
As if you are still adding value, because a lot of elderly are in a position to continue adding value to society. They can mentor younger people. They can do stuff. But, you know, people need to make the right decision for their relatives. I want to encourage you callers to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And I am in conversation with Rahima Rylander. And she is the owner of
Home Care.
Help with a Heart.
Yes.
For the elderly home care. And they are now located in Texas, and they started in Florida. But I know if you know anybody who is the elderly, and yet when I came here back in 1985, I worked in assisted living. I have never worked in a nursing home. And there are times, too, when I worked in the private homes of some people who were elderly. And I noticed the lifestyle and lifespan of these people who were staying home versus the others who were put in institution and listening to other people.
You got it, girl.
You know, so if you have any experience about that, we want to encourage you to call us and share. We want to hear from you because, you know, on this show, our focus is to empower, inspire, educate, and keep you well informed so you will make the right decision. Whether you're an entrepreneur, wannabe, or you are already one, we have committed this Wednesday show to help you making the right decision. So let us hear from you, 646-915-8166. So now, you set your business up, you have a few clients. What are some of the feedbacks that you have gotten from children or family members who chose to let their relatives remain at home versus putting them in an institution?
Oh, my God. It is so, I can't tell you, it's awesome. I have to go back to my first client, Carol, that same client that her son wanted to put her in the home.
Yes.
And I said to him, Mike, I'm asking you, please, because they listen to me. I was taking care of Carol 3 years by then, and then I ended up taking care of her for 5 years. I said to Mike, she does not want to go in a nursing home. And he said to me, but she reaches the stage where she needs someone to be at home. I said, you know what, Mike? I will set up 24-hour care for you because this is not how my business is going to start. He
yes.
said, but Rue, how are you going to be doing it? I said, don't you worry. Trust me. I will set up 24-hour care. I will have one woman working 5 days, living in there with her. It was two of them. It was she and her brother. And I said, I will get someone to do from Friday evening to Monday morning. I'll set it up.
For the weekend, yes.
Yeah, I will set it up for the whole week. And he said, because I can't pay you anymore. I said, don't you worry. I will work out that money so that I supervise and you pay the woman. And that you won't have to pay an extra. And Daphne, I worked it out, and I made sure that she had two full-time people around the clock right there in the house, and I would go and supervise, and I would go, and if she wants anything at the shop, if she wants to go to the doctor, I take her. I take them. And if she wants anything she wants, she would call me. And
because
I had
she already
that, and
knew
that
you.
Was my first client that I had.
Wow.
I was supervising and had her for my first client until she died. When she died, her son had no idea what to do with her house. I arranged for a realtor and people to go in, clean up the house, get rid of all the things that she was supposed to get rid of, and had the house sold.
Wow.
Until now, this day, right now, it is about 7 years after, I still have Mike and his wife's telephone number on speed dial. I can call them anytime.
Wonderful. That is a blessing. And you know what? All this happened because you were obedient to the instruction of the Holy Spirit as what to do. And this is what I tell entrepreneurs all the time or people who are looking to go into their own business. If you would journal and sit down and take the time and to be still,
mm-hmm.
and pray, because you
mm-hmm.
know, God is faithful. The universe is faithful to us. We are not getting results because we are busy trying to fix things ourselves.
That's right.
And if you just take the time to write down and be still and be patient.
Yes.
You are going to get the result. We have another caller on. I want to check with that person. If you just hold the line, please. And remember, you can call in at any time and be part of this amazing conversation. The number is 646-915-8166. Caller, good morning. You're first three digits are 214. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Cheryl, and I'm calling from Dallas.
Hi, Cheryl. Good morning, and how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am wonderful. Do you have a question, a comment, or a remark?
I just have a comment. I just think it's great what you guys are doing. This information is going out, and people are being blessed by it, and I just wanted to say that how much I appreciate.
She got disconnected. Please call back in, and we will bring you back on. So it's a wonderful thing to hear that people are being blessed by what we are doing. So let us continue. As what kind of a feeling you get when you see that you're able to add value and quality to all these elderly people?
Oh, it gives me such a feeling in my heart. Nobody could pay me the amount of money, any amount of money, to change it, to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I do is that I add quality to people's lives. I remember when my mother reached that stage. When she reached a stage where she couldn't take care of herself anymore, I had her in my house, and I had my niece staying there with her. At 7 o'clock in the morning, when, you know, in Jamaica the sun is shining, and I used to wake up. I had two jobs to make sure that my mom is taken care of at home. I remember at the hospital, you know, we were nurses, and at the hospital in Montego Bay, the doctor said, bring her into the hospital, and I said, no, doc. I want my mom to die home here. I want her to be around her grandchildren, and I want her to have love.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when she, in the morning at 7 o'clock, she used to start wetting her bed. My niece would get up in the morning. I would wake up a little later. And when I go in my mom's room, my mom would be already bathed. She would have a bath, and she would smell so good and so nice. This is the feeling.
Yes.
I get. When I am around those old people and see how happy they are, and when their children come around, they're living their own homes, they can make their own decisions. Because they're not stupid. They're just weak and feeble and can't do for themselves. And they have their in their own home making their own decisions. That adds such a quality of life to them. It makes them so happy, and it brings joy to my heart.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember when we were back in the day, and in the second episode, people are going to hear what year back in the day was, but you remember we didn't have any nursing home or anything. We used to have what they call the almshouse or the infirmary up the road past Cornwall College up there near to go to Albion Road.
Yes.
But now I went back. Do you know that Dr. Chana Watson now has a nursing home?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes, ma'am, she does. She has a nursing home down there in Montego Bay. So I have not gone there to visit, so I don't know what the care is. But she was a phenomenal gynecologist. So let's hope that she's giving quality care to our people. Just hold on. I need to take a brief commercial break, but if you are sitting there with the telephone in your hand, you might as well start dialing 646-915-8166.
Superfastlinkbuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
All right, so I encourage you to go support our sponsors over there at SuperFastLinkBuilding if you're looking to increase your traffic. All right, so I encourage you to call, and the people in the chat room, if you have a question, you can type it. I'll read it. But I much rather if you call 646-915-8166. So let's talk about making the right choice for your elderly relatives. Before people go out to begin to compare whether to put them in a nursing home or to let them remain at home, what need to be on their checklist? What are some of the things they need to be looking out for so that they can make the right decision?
They need to do a background check on the agency that is the home care agency that they're going to be putting their loved ones with. They need to do a thorough interview with the person who's going, the interviewing person like myself who would be going out to speak to them about their parent. They need to do a thorough investigation or thorough interview, find out if the caregiver's background check, if there has been any criminal record, if they are fingerprinted, if there has been any complaint. And more than anything else, when you talk with the person who is going to be put in the service, find out if that person has compassion. Because more than anything else, these loved ones want compassion. That's all they want. I can tell you, they don't, very few of them desire a lot of care. They just need someone to love on them because it's the afternoon of their lives and they want someone to go through that with them, making them feel comfortable. So more than anything, a compassionate person is going to hire compassionate staff.
You know, I hear everything you say, and then the question comes to mind. Is there a way that you can probably access all of what you just said prior to going to the person so you can have something to compare with? Because are they going to voluntarily tell you the truth, whether there was a complaint and all of that stuff?
It's not hard to find. There is a register.
Oh.
All licensed home care business, there's a register. And
okay.
There is a register that you can go in to find out if there was a complaint against that company.
Ah.
And you know something, Daphne?
Mm.
We come from a country where word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth, man. Word of mouth. You know, you do your investigation. Someone around will tell you. You
mm-hmm.
find out from, you know, I mean, five or six persons cannot be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth is a very good thing. I mean, because it's going to be, I service people around the community that I live in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Church and so on. People in my immediate community. And those people would know, one would tell the other, no, don't bother with that person. Or, oh, that person, oh, no, she hires the best caregivers.
Right. Because
Daphne, you want to know something? My caregivers are mostly Jamaican. And people,
okay,
why do you use Jamaican?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I know who I can relate with. And
mm-hmm.
I know who know the service and the care to give. I said, Jamaicans treat their grandmothers and their uncles and their elderly like they love them and treat them very well. And
yeah,
I'm sure that when I have a Jamaican, you might have one bad apple in the lot, but I said, when I have Jamaicans, I know that they're going to give the best of service. And also, I am a very disciplined person. So when I go to my Jamaicans, when I go to my caregiver's house, my client's house, and my caregivers are there, and I see things that are not properly done, I can talk to my caregivers. I can pull her up and said, why are the dishes not washed? Why is her bath not cleaned? I'm not joking. You are either going to take this job and do it my way or leave it.
Exactly.
So I hire those people who I know I can remind them of who we are.
Exactly.
We are not here.
And
we are not here to be joking. We are here to give these people who have worked all their lives and have reached the last stage of their lives, we are here to give them the best of service.
And listen, I need your husband to call in because I need to talk to him about, you know, the work you do and everything. So, Mr. Rylanda, will you please call in 646-915-8166? I hope you are listening. And I just lost Gail. So call back, Gail, if you have anything to add to what your mom says. And while I wait on Mr. Rylanda to call in, the people in the chat room, thank you for hanging in there. But take some time and call 646-915-8166. And now we talk about the relatives giving you feedback about their people not going in. I have a call here. Let me just take this call and then I'm going to come back to you. I love telephone calls. I love when you guys call in. Caller, good morning. Your first three digits are 832. Would you please state your name and where you're calling from?
Hello, Daphne. This is David. I'm Rahama's husband.
Mr. Rylanda, thank you so much. Now, how do you feel about the work? Well, introduce yourself to the people, and then I want you to tell me, how do you feel about the work that your wife is involved in and the care that she gives for the elderly?
I'm really impressed with my wife and how she relates to the elderly people. And just realizing that, hey, one day that's going to be either one of, and both, or actually both of us.
Mm-hmm.
But she has quite a heart for it, and I really enjoy her attention to detail and taking care of the folks, that the clients that we've had. And I met her about 10 years ago on the internet, of all places.
Oh, really?
Really?
Tell us more about that, David.
And that was just a connection that only God could put together.
My. You know, David, I'm single too, and everybody's telling me to, you got to go on the internet. And I guess I'm stingy. I say, I ain't paying for no love, so I ain't paying. I ain't going there. But I'm looking at you too, man. Maybe I have to rethink that. So, David, what made you choose her over the other millions that were probably there?
I liked her profile.
Ooh.
And how she set herself forward and what she was looking for. And
so I guess when I'm ready to go on the internet, I got to get her to write my profile.
Yeah.
You know, David, I thank you for having a sense of humor, and thank you for calling in. But before you go, what would you say are the top five best qualities of your beautiful wife?
The very first one is she's compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And she's caring. And She treats her clients as if they were her own parents.
Ah, that's powerful. That's powerful. You only have two more, David. You're doing good.
Pardon me?
I said you only have two more. You're doing good.
Jeez.
I asked you for the top five, so you gave me three.
Yeah. And, well, actually, the very first would be her Christian walk and her commitment to the Lord.
Yes, yes. That's important. Yes, yes.
And just the fact that she seeks after his direction in her life.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, I thank you for calling. Is there anything else you wish to say before you go? I noticed our caller from Texas called back, so I'm going to go to her in a minute. So I'm glad she took the time to call back. Is there anything else you would like to say, David, before you go?
I just thank you for the opportunity to give my wife to put her company out there for people to see and understand what she's all about.
Okay, is that your
because way? The competition is intense, but a lot of times the services are not.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's all in God's time. And out of nowhere, he's just going to do what he needs to do.
Amen.
So, because this is his company. It's not yours. It's not hers. It is his. And
correct.
He will continue to orchestrate the things that need to be orchestrated. So,
absolutely.
I'm going to mute you. I don't know if you want to say anything else. You can touch one and raise your hand. I want to go back to that lady who was calling in from Texas. So thank you for calling in and thank you for listening. I need to encourage everyone who is listening, who is not yet a friend of mine on the radio show. I want you to mark the show favorite and friend me this way. Every week you will get notice of who my guests are. So grant me that favor and connect with me on Facebook and LinkedIn and everything. So thank you, David. I'm going to mute you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 2128. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, this is Cheryl calling again from Texas.
I'm glad you called back because technology disconnected you before.
I know.
Yeah. So.
And actually, I wanted to kind of listen in on the program.
Okay.
And that was my intent. And,
all right, that's all right. If you want to speak, you just touch one and I'll put you live.
Okay.
And I want to encourage you to mark the show favorite and become a friend.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So now, is there anything else you would like to say about the business before we go into some old history about us?
Yeah, I just want to give the proper name of the business. The business is Content Family, that's C-O-N-T-E-N-T, content
okay.
Family. It means your family is content when they are with my company.
And your heart content too. Thank you for that.
It's Content Family Home Care.
Mm-hmm.
And our number is 832-217-8392.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in Houston, Texas, in the Katy area of Houston.
And what
you can also find us on my website, www.contentfamilyhomecare.
Wonderful, wonderful. So it's Content Family
Home Care.
www.contentfamily.com. So
yes.
You can visit it and read it and call if you know anybody who needs quality care for their relatives, that they want to maintain the dignity of who they are. you will want to touch, get in touch with them. So now, we are going to go into some old history. But before that, I just want us to do, I want to take one more commercial break, and then we are going to go into the conversation, and we want to accept people's call and everything. So one more commercial break.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right. So now we are going to switch gears.
Uh-huh.
St. James Hospital School of Nursing.
Yeah.
That class number one.
Right.
We used to meet at 4th Street in that little house. That was our classroom.
Yep.
And we used to walk up 4th Street to go to the hospital for practical.
That's right.
Mr. Corbett Hall and Mr. John Davis and Sister Reed Wilson were our instructors.
That's right.
And Sunday the 3rd, we graduated March 1970. And I had a senior moment, and I put on Facebook that we graduated 1973. No,
that's
1970 was when I was married.
Mm-hmm.
So, how many years does that make it now?
1970 to 2012. That looks to me like okay. Let's work it out.
Somebody got to be out there that doing math. Anyway,
it's 42 years. March gone was 42 years.
Huh?
42 years.
We have not spoken because I don't think I have seen you much since graduation.
No, because I went to work when we graduated. I worked a year in the hospital, the old hospital, and then I was transferred to Falmouth.
Oh yes, that's what happened. You went
yes.
to Falmouth. I remained at Cornwall Regional Hospital.
Right.
Then I went to public health.
Yeah.
Then I went to Jamaica Cultural Development.
Oh.
Then I came to the United States.
All right. Then I went from Falmouth to Bellevue Hospital.
So
and
you
were after I did I think about 5 or 6 years at Bellevue Hospital, they encouraged me. They wanted me. One of my sister tutors there saw the compassion and the encouraging spirit in me, and
yeah.
she wanted me to go into social work.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do. We had a therapy program there for the patients where we do drama to teach the elderly patients. You know, those
yeah.
old elderly patients. We use drama as therapy. So I went to the Jamaica School of Drama, and
uh-huh.
I did a 3 years course in and got a special education certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And went back to Bellevue to use it as a therapy for the patients.
Isn't that something? You
yes.
you realize it's amazing because.
Yes.
God always have our purpose right under our noses.
That's right.
And we always ignore it. Because, you know, I remember even at Cornwall Regional Hospital and even at St. James Hospital, when I was doing medication, I never just give the medication. I always get in a long conversation
right.
with my patient. Little did I know that my latter years, that was going to be the career that I end up doing, coaching, speaking, and all of that. And I tell my clients all the time, you don't have to look too far to see what God wants you to do, because it's right there in front of you.
That's right.
So
you just have to be obedient.
Just need to be obedient, and a lot of times we fight.
Yes.
We are fighting God because we want to do our own thing.
We are looking at what the world is doing, because the world is doing something that is, you know, I know all along that I was never money oriented. That was not my thing. My thing was always to be help, and it had to be in the social field. Then when I left, when I left Bellevue, as soon as I finished there, the Social Development Commission, I don't know how they knew about me, but UNICEF had a project.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the supervisors from there recruited me, came and asked me that they would really love me to come in to work with women and children.
Mm-hmm.
So I became a development officer, community development officer with UNICEF project, where I was going into the back bush, the Riverton City area, setting up projects for women and children, those women and children who needed something to do. Those women had many
direction.
Children. The men left them and so on.
There
were rundown areas. So I went in there, and we set up programs where we brought, like, nurses in. We brought people who could make cloth and so on. And we went in there and set a program for those women so they could become, teach them, train them, dressmaking, train them to do craft, train them to be businesswomen, bring in little people for them to do their books and so on. And we had that. In the meantime, I was still doing my part-time work at University Hospital. You know, I would go and do sessions there.
Yeah. It's interesting because that's the same way I end up at the Jamaica Cultural Commission.
Right.
Because I was going to the different districts and identifying what people's skills were in the craft and the cooking. And isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
I know. Back then, I knew nothing about coaching or nothing.
Yeah.
But as I look back over the journey, everything I did, what is connected. I want to welcome guest 1061 to the show. I am on here talking with my batchmate from nursing school 42 years ago. So, what did you remember? What do you remember about me at school?
Well, you were there. You definitely. I know that you were. When I'm looking back, since I started talking to you, I started looking back. You were one of those girls who was most likely to succeed. You were not going to, you never satisfied with very ordinary things.
Wow.
It's true. We saw you as very proud. You know, this girl is so proud and so high-tidy, and you know what I mean? It is true. So many of us had, you rubbed us the wrong way. Because you usually behave so higher than thou, mightier than the others. You know, I don't put up with little things, you know what I mean? The little things of life never appeal to you.
Carfancy, can I tell you something?
What?
When I did my 60th birthday party for myself in Jamaica 4 years ago, and some of my American friends went down with me. And the people who knew me from back then, they were telling them, ain't nothing changed about her. She was always sophisticated and stylish.
It is true. It is true. You are not going to be putting up with the, I mean, you don't put up with, you know, whereas I had a patience and would a little bit, you are not putting up with anything that was too simple.
That is so funny because, you know, and I have to thank you for sending those pictures because, girl, I had forgotten everything about those. And listen, for those of you who are listening, and you are my friends on Facebook, I want to encourage you to go look at my timeline. Thanks to Car Fancy, I'm able to post those pictures that were taken March 1970 of our graduation there. And I want you to tell me which one is me. I'm not going to say anything. But I tell you something, Car Fancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, few of my people found me and know who I was in them two pictures.
Mm-mm.
And they said, I know one man told me he blew the pictures up.
Yes.
And he said, your face hasn't changed.
Wow.
So, it's amazing because I remember at class two, you are so a prominent person and you always speak up.
Yes.
You
speak up for rights, you know, yes. And I'm still like that.
Yeah, you always speak up. And it's like my son said to me when he and I was talking on Skype last night. And I said, where is, hold on a minute. I see somebody outside here and I'm wondering who is it? I'm coming back to you. Oh, I guess he probably looking. Oh, his dog. Oh, I see somebody in my backyard, and I was wondering who is that. His dog is running away from him. So my son said to me, Mommy, oh, even if I didn't know you, Auntie Opal gave you away because everywhere you are, the two of you connect.
Yes.
That's what my son said to me. But, you know, Aunt Opal, who is my best friend from training school, because that's where I met her. She is still very quiet.
Still? Wow.
Still as quiet the way she was in training.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But it was a great group of women.
It was not only women. It was ladies. Ladies. Let me tell you one thing that I remember. When I came here, and I have to compare, when I came here and started working in a hospital in Florida, and I see how, and I just want, if there's a nurse here who's listening, please don't, we're not bashing you. We're just comparing our cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I saw how the nurse dressed Daphne with their, they had on white pants, and you could see the panty line.
Ooh,
on the
God.
White
pants.
I remember one day I went to work, and I was upstairs at Montego Bay Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just started wearing pants because we
yes,
could not wear pants.
We had just started wearing it.
And mm-hmm. I don't know what happened if my panty or something was not fitting properly. And the sister, the matron called me. Fancy.
Matron Fancy.
And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, come to my office. And when I went down, she said, you have to go home and change your
mm-hmm.
clothes. You are not properly dressed.
Yeah, that was Matron Williams. You remember?
Yes. It was just one little line my panty. The line, just a little line
mm-hmm.
was showing. And I had to go home and change. She
mm-hmm.
said, we will not have that here.
That's right.
Don't have that type of dressing here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a difference now when you see how people dress to work. You remember
exactly.
That?
Exactly. It's amazing. So how many of our old batchmates are you in touch with?
Strangely enough, I'm not in touch with everybody. But since we started connecting since last week, I have been able to contact one of my close friends, Joy May in Canada.
Oh, yes. You and she and Goodall.
Yes, I can't find Goodall. I don't know, but we have to go all the way out to see. I don't know if something is going wrong with her, if she's still with us in this world, you know? I have not been in touch with everybody. I've been in touch with Bev Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Bev Wright is having a hearing problem now.
I'm
in touch with her, yes.
I put something on Facebook that if anybody knows Goodall, and I haven't seen any responses yet. But I'm going to give you an opportunity now to say something about her that if anybody knows her, it will help to jog their memory. And let us know what you know, because we want to work on a reunion. And we don't want to leave anybody out. So say something about Goodall.
About Goodall. Goodall's name was, her name was, is, she's Velma Corrine Goodall. And she's from St. Anne, this little district called, it's from in one of the Bauxite district, but she's from St. Anne. Very pretty, very sprightly. She got married and she left and went. I think she left and went to Florida. She had two children. She had a daughter and a son. And her son had died some years while we were in training. So if anybody at all knows her, her best friend in training, she lived with me, was Car Fancy. So
yes,
anybody can have any inclination of where Goodall is. Please.
But
try to get her in touch with us because we're trying to find her.
Car Fancy, talk about where you were living because so that somebody will know, and if you know her daughter's name.
Okay. I was living the last time Goodall and I, when we graduated, I was living at 14 Thompson Street in Montego Bay. And that's where Goodall and I lived before she went back while we were nurses. We graduated and we started working. And she went back to St. Anne. The last place she worked before she left Jamaica was St. Anne's Bay Hospital.
Hospital. Okay.
Yes. So anyone knows of her, please let us know.
Yeah, anybody know of her, let us know. You can call either me. My number is 860-355-9838. Or our Car Fancy.
281.
Give your number.
281-578-0577 or 832-217-8392, I think. But, yes, I think that's my cell phone. But please call me at
281-578-0577.
My name is Nora Rylander, but it's still Car Fancy. You can call me and ask for Car Fancy.
Yes, and also you can email me dynamicdaphne@aol.com, dynamicdaphne@aol.com. Anybody who knows anything about Velma Corrine Goodall, who graduated with the class of 1970 at the St. James Public Hospital on 4th Street, Montego Bay, St. James, Jamaica, West Indies. Girl, we want to find you. We want to find you. So connect with us. Connect with us. And I want to, you know, thank Dorothy Clark-Smichael for hooking us up together because there were three Clarks in our class.
Yes.
Dorothy Clark, Elaine Clark, and Daphne Clark.
And I'm trying to get in touch with Shirley Jones. And what's Carter's first name again?
Carter is Rosetta Carter. And
Rosetta Carter, yes. Where's Rosetta?
She's in the Bronx, New York, and I had her number up until Verizon wiped off my data.
Yes.
This past week, so I don't have it, but I will get it. Matter of fact, tonight I'm going to be seeing Daphne Smith. I'm spending the night. I have to go to New York for a meeting. I'm spending the night because I have a couple of meetings in New York tomorrow. So I'm sure Daphne has Carter's number. So
I just want to make a correction. I have given out my work, my business is Content Family Home Care, and my business number is 832-217-4892. Someone just told me I had the wrong number. It's 4892.
Okay. All right, great.
217-4892, Content Family Home Care. And Daphne, I just want people to know that if you live in Connecticut and you have a family member in Houston, Texas, you can still hire me. My company
good caregiver in your family's home. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be anywhere. I will communicate with you.
Okay, so it doesn't matter which state you're in. You
as
can
long as you have an elderly here.
Right. So, okay, wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad you added that.
Yeah,
so
I can send you the contract. I send you the contract, and I can bill you. You know, I mean, we do our billing.
Right.
Send you the invoice and land and so on, you know? Yes.
Okay. Also, and with the thing now with PayPal and everything, you can get it done.
That's
so
right.
Let's go back. What are some of the top moments you remember about us going through that training and some of the challenging times and everything? You know?
Remember that if we were on a weekend with the nurses, we did our practical from Monday to Friday, so we were off on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember those patients that have ulcers, they usually have them in the annex. And they never did any dressing on the weekend.
None
on the weekend. So we dress them on Friday. We do the changing of the dressing and wash them on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We leave them there until Monday morning when we come.
Mm-hmm.
And we are assigned to the annex.
Yes. Oh, my God. I forgot that. And now that you talk about that, I remember that the two bed in the there were two beds in the section before you get to the annex. That's where they used to put the TB cases.
Right. And then they had six patients in the annex. And
we had
in the morning in the annex. And Daphne, did you remember we had to wash the bandages? Do you remember?
Oh,
we had to wash the bandages. You don't remember that.
Wash them bandages by hand.
We never had gloves, so we had to put the bandages in some water, and then after they boil out, we had to wash them, and we never had gloves.
That's right. And thank you, Jesus, that we're still alive today. We have no diseases and all of that. Oh, my God. Girl, you don't forget nothing.
No, I can't forget. And I remember, let me tell you one thing I remember. I remember bedside care was something. I remember when one day we were not yet graduated, and we were doing a bed bath. And it looked like the water was too warm, and I never tested it. You remember you had to do the elbow test?
You had to do the elbow test with the water. I wonder if they still do that.
No, they don't. And I did not realize that the water was too warm. And when I was going to do a vaginal wash with the patient, you remember we had the little bowl, the little dish, and you had to pour
the
water there.
The kidney
bowl. And the water was too warm, and the lady jumped a little bit. And Sister Reed Wilson came around, and she said to the patient, "Was that water too hot, too warm?" And she said, no, it was just nice, you know.
She
saved my day.
She was going to be in trouble. Yeah.
Because I was going to be brought up to sister's office, and we didn't want that. You had to give proper, you remember our bed making mitered corners.
Oh, my God. The
corners of the bed had to be mitered. You remember that word, Daphne?
Oh, yeah.
Mitered corner.
But can I tell you something?
What?
No, I still put my top sheet on my bed like that.
You might at the corner.
Yes.
Those things don't happen now like that. And sister would come in and she would measure and she walked down the row to see if all the beds were straight.
Yes, and then they stand up and look and see. Oh, my God. Any nurses who are listening now who was trained in someplace else besides Jamaica, call us and let us compare notes. Call us and let us compare notes. And I tell you something, I would not change anything. You know, most times I have interviews with journalists and everything, and they share my life story, the ups and downs and everything. And they ask me if I could start over, if I would change anything.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I would not, because everything that I have gone through has helped to mold me to the woman that I am today.
Me too. And I told everybody that I was happy where I was born. I am so happy for where I was born. Yep.
Yes.
Would not change it for nothing. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, I there was something, and I don't have that book right here in front of me, but there was something that Mr. Davis taught us.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a co-author with a book called Conversation on Success. And that thing, I guess, is the only thing I never forget about going through training. And I include it in my book because I always remember Mr. Davis. He was such a personable man. You know, when he was talking to one student, he gave you his undivided attention.
Yes.
He made you feel valuable.
That's right.
You know? You could do all things. John Davis always tell you. He was from England. Remember, Carl Fancy?
Of course. How could I forget that?
He was from England, and he was so personable and kind to all of us.
Yes. Everybody had the same amount of training and the same amount of attention. One thing I remember, Sister Corbett said to us, ladies, remember now that your nurses and your fingernails have to be nicely done and nicely groomed. We weren't using any polish because there was no nail polish and so on. We weren't in that. But it had to be
I was too poor to find what she said.
She said, I know that some of you are married and that the men, our Jamaican men, like to have their boiled bananas. But remember that those fingers have to be nicely clean to come to for the patient. You're nurses, and you have to represent yourself properly. So if you have to do the bananas, make sure that your fingers are nicely cleaned before you come.
I forgot that. And we have to tell people about the boiled banana thing, because in Jamaica, the boiled bananas are... they're green before they mature enough to turn yellow, for what you know. And that's one of the breakfast staples in Jamaica. Boiled banana, ackee and saltfish, or mackerel and banana, or liver and banana, all of that. And, you have to peel, and if you don't peel that green banana in water, all
that's
the stain...
Cook some oil. Oil in the water, yes.
That's right. It the stain stays in your hand and that becomes your manicure.
That's right.
But then
that
we got smarter later on. We just marked the banana, put it in the boiling water with some oil, and when it cook, you just peel the skin off.
Has things changed? Yes. But even though we had to do those things, we were dignified.
Oh yes.
We were. You remember Amanda Thompson Robinson? How much more dignified than that?
She was here last year.
She was one of the most. When Amanda was coming from the heart of the country, and that girl was so dignified.
Oh my God! And she is. She is. She is. Still is. She
is
so funny because at my party, I shouldn't be saying this on international radio, but I am. And so, Opa look at her, and with her quiet demeanor and everything, she says, I can't believe Robbie's still so bossy.
And it's not bossy, it's the dignity that she has. The girl is dignified. I used to love her because of that.
Oh, yes. And she is another one that is doing so much. Now she works for the disaster preparedness in Jamaica.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you know that she had became the matron for the...
I know.
Yes. So then she moved on and she's been doing a lot of wonderful things. And sometimes she has the opportunity to visit the U.S. to go to some disaster preparedness convention or something. But she is still a mover and a shaker.
That's
still
right.
A mover and a shaker.
Yes.
And you told me that just one of our batchmates passed away.
That Daphne Lynch. Remember, Daphne was the older one for us. Because when we were Daphne Martina and so on,
a woman.
She was when she came in training, so she died. Yes,
Daphne Lynch. Hulda Sims. Daphne was a woman. Hulda Sims was a woman.
Right.
Finderson was a woman.
Right.
Wellington was already a woman too.
Yeah,
right?
Was she? Okay.
I think she was a little older than us.
Maybe not. I don't think maybe it's maybe. I think she was more experienced, you know.
She
was the most worldly one of the lot, you know.
Yeah, because
I think that's maybe what made her older, because she was so worldly, you know.
Yeah.
We were just coming from the country, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her little girlish habit. Because when I went in training, sister is saying to me, "What are you doing? You're too young.
Yeah.
You're just a baby."
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
She was grown up in Montego Bay, and she
was exposed
to the world than we were. You know.
Yep. But, you know, it's amazing because, you know, I wouldn't say we weren't as close of friends as you were a close friends with Goodall. Our cross was part, but I know when it came to speaking up for anything or anybody in that class, you used to speak up for everybody, not only Goodall.
But listen what I used to do. When I'm off, I usually say to them, because we were so upset with the unfairness of the nurses there, how they usually treat us.
Oh, yeah.
And I usually say to the girls, listen, I'm going to be off this Saturday, Sunday, but if anything like a rebellion or a protest or so on, put my name at the top. Right? First on the list, you know? Because I'm in it. Because we always had to be protesting. But guess who was let us down all the time? I don't know if you remember. Papa. You remember we called Finlis and Papa?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Papa.
Me and Papa are working. And you remember Nurse Abel? She was one of the hardest one there, girl.
Abel Lawrence.
She was so hard. Listen, we are not allowing us to give reports. And at 7 o'clock, the nurses are not coming in until 7:15.
Mm-hmm.
We had to walk. I don't know about you. Maybe you had someone to take, but I had to walk from the hospital to Thompson Street where I lived, which was a good over a mile, maybe a mile and a half or 2 miles.
That's right. I used to walk down to Gully to get the bus to go up to Paradise.
Right. And sometimes, you know, wait for the taxi because it takes too long. So we walk home, we're walking. And
right.
Mm-hmm. At 7:15, we're ready to go. Pop, I find some job to do.
She's
going to write up the dispensary. She's going to make, I'm saying, Finn, listen, it's time for us to go. She shake her shoulder and she go on to find someone else. So they usually say, oh, Nurse Finlayson, she is so dedicated. And
yeah,
I am there, I am cussing and carry on. I don't know what is wrong with her. Our time is up and it's time for her to go. But if she does not leave, I can't leave. She's waiting until they give the report. And we don't have to be there until the report is given. So we usually have some fuss with it. And we usually always get, all of us usually get on her. And say, Finlayson, you need to stop it.
No, she's
and she
not.
Usually says, but there's something else for me to do, you know. But I was a little troublemaker, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to have it. And then Nurse Abel said anything to me. I said, well, I'm not going to do this. And you're not going to talk to me like I'm a girl. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not working at your house. You know?
Oh, my God. She used to talk to us in such derogatory way.
That's right.
You know, she always talked to us in that derogatory way. You know, when I went to Jamaica a couple of years ago, I saw her husband. But I didn't see her. I said, tell Abel Lawrence hello. Because it's so funny that we actually, years after that, became friends. because she was friends with Nurse Alexander, Valerie. And Valerie and I were friends because Valerie is my son godmother. So I guess we were kind of thrust into a relationship. But it's amazing. And I think those things had helped us to gain more strength.
Of course. It molded us.
It molded us. And we knew who we were then. We weren't seeking for approval.
That's right.
We knew who we were, and we know come hell or high water, we were going to finish and we were going to graduate.
But then, can you imagine, not one of us had dropped out. Nobody failed in the batch.
Nobody.
All of us came through. One person left. Remember, Grace left to do her RN in the middle of the training.
That's right. And
but none of us dropped out. Everybody got good grades. And we all went through. Even though it was rough, we decided that we were going to do it. Eh?
Yes, but I don't know if you recall that after graduation, those people who were much more critical of us during training, they were confident in giving us more responsibilities. They didn't have to like micromanage us and watch over our shoulders because they know we were good at what we do.
We were trained by the best.
That's right.
We were trained by the best. We had the old English system training. You know, now we almost do 2 years of training, and that same training in America here is 9 months.
And you know who I remember who had such great respect for us? Dr. Harlan Hastings.
Yes, he was such a nice guy.
I wonder what happened to him.
Oh, he must be dead now. If we are at this age now, you know what I mean? That don't mean nothing.
He could be gone. Because I'm looking at Dr. Burke in the picture. I wonder what happened to Dr. Burke. Because I'm looking at Dr. Burke in our graduation picture.
He was a younger man, yes.
They were young men, and I'm looking at Dr. Elimiah. They were young. I don't know if Dr.
You remember Dr. Bruce Ford, you know, he died.
Yes. And Bruce,
you know, he died.
And I heard he died.
He died some years ago. They said he had put on so much weight.
Yes, he
and,
was so big, and I don't know why he allowed himself to
I don't know. And he was running one morning and collapsed and died.
And he collapsed and died.
He was such a nice guy, you know. And you remember those days how we were, all the young doctors who come down, we had a good relationship with them.
You remember Tony Vendries? Did you know him?
I know, he was at Montego Bay Hospital, the new
one.
Oh,
no, he came after graduation.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But he came down as an intern there, and he married to Dorothy that used to own Verney House up on Leader Avenue.
Oh, okay.
And they're still married, and he's doing a phenomenal job with one of those multi-level marketing products. I'm not calling their name on here because they're not sponsoring my show. I'm not giving them any perk. But when you go out there, he has the big banner, my dear, up on the wall up at Verney House. The same group that you hear me mention that a class graduated last night, a couple of years ago, I was teaching another class in another city. And this lady brought in this article to show me because she was trying to get me to buy the products to use.
Yes.
So she figured if she come and show me that with that doctor from Jamaica, I'm going to get excited and spend my money. I say, I know Tony Vendries, and then I start telling her everything. Our mouth fell open. She said, I cannot believe this. I said, yes, well, you believe it. You believe it. I remember sometimes Dr. Hastings used to write those prescriptions. And after he goes 6 beds down, by the time he get to the annex, he forget what he write for the person on bed 4.
Okay.
And we go back with it because his penmanship was so bad.
Yes.
Nurse, you working with me long enough, you supposed to know what that is.
It's such a different, you know, I mean, when I remember, you know, Flo, if I could live my life again, I would do that again. I mean, Daphne, I keep calling you. If I could live my life, I would do it again. It was, you know, because those humble beginnings, you know.
We
reach a stage in life that, you know, that's how humble our lives should be.
Oh, yes. You know,
this is how God wants us to. Yes.
I was speaking with a man I met last week up at a shrine in Massachusetts. And the man gave me the most gracious acknowledgement. He said to me, "You and your friend Alicia is full of so much love and spirituality. You both remind me of Mother Teresa."
Oh, boy.
He said, "You both are so kind and loving." He said, "What an honor it was to meet both of you."
Yes.
And I said, "My God, look at that." Because a lot of times, you know, people don't express gratitude.
That's
and
right.
The reason why, when I was invited last year to be part of this book project, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude, it was such an honor for me. And I am writing a gratitude book myself. And I said to the woman when she asked me to be part of this, I said, "I'm already working on one. Is it going to be a conflict of interest?" She said, "No, because gratitude can never be too much." And I think people need to take more time to express gratitude. Not when it is late. Let it be a part of who you are each day.
Our daily life. Yes, it should be. Yes, we need to pray. You know what I mean? Praise God for humble beginnings. And I'm telling you, I am so glad that, you know, for my humble beginnings. I am so glad because it has taught me to be who I am. It has taught me to appreciate, to be appreciative.
Uh-huh.
When things get a little bit better, you know what I mean, you can appreciate it and say thank you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Now, with this connection, I know we're talking about the reunion and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you like to see happen with this reconnected relationship between us? What would you like to see? What would you...
I would love, although we were batchmates, we never had that. I was saying to my daughter and my husband, because they are my two closest confidants, and
uh-huh.
I'm saying, God knows. My husband and I, we went and ride our bicycle this morning, and I was saying to him, God knows his purpose for every one of us life, and if we just wait on him. I said, can you imagine? The most unlikely person that I thought that would have called me for us to have this awesome conversation is Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
Daphne, I would like us to develop this into a relationship that lasts until one of us leave this earth. I want you to support me, and I want to support you in whatever way we can.
And, you know, it brought tears to my eyes to hear you say that, because I, in different words, I said to my friend, I've connected with this lady, and I said, you know something? She was in a different class caliber. As I say, in school, you were so sophisticated and so prominent and everything. And although we were batchmates, we never had a relationship.
That's it, but God knows, Daphne.
You know,
I said it to my daughter and my husband.
We weren't friends.
Asked,
42 years later, here we are having this conversation. And I don't know what God has in mind.
Ah, girl. We don't know.
And whatever he says, I'm obedient and willing to follow his guidance.
Me too.
And just to do what it is he wants to do, because there's so much work that he has to do. So much work that he has for us all to do, and there's so much to be done.
You know, Daphne, what just the Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear?
Yes.
You have the influence with your program. What if we start a home for something? I don't know, Daphne. I just saw home.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit has given me the vision to do a retreat center, which I am praying to the Lord to allow somebody to donate some land to build it or give us the funding, because he's not giving us any dreams that he will not fund.
That's right.
And the retreat center will be looking about people's spirituality, their well-being, their health, their nutrition.
Well, I'm just telling you, it just says home.
Yes.
The youth center,
yes.
I'm just seeing home.
And, you know, it's amazing. God is so faithful. God is so, so faithful because, you know, the plan for that home is that people can come there and make it a home. They can stay 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 6 months.
Okay, I just saw a home, girl. I just saw a home. Talk to me. I just saw a home in my spirit. I just saw a home. I don't know what it is. But let me tell you something, Daphne. Listen to this testimony. My husband, and I'm going to be a little bit weepy.
My husband
has been, he got a better position. He is a draftsman, and he was with Siemens for over 20 years. And 2007, they gave him a bad evaluation at work. And, you know, if you are living in the spirit, you can know when something is wrong with those around you.
Yes.
And I noticed that my husband was so down, his shoulders fall. My husband is not a complainer. He's such a sweet, humble person. But I noticed that his strides were not as sharp, and his spirit was sort of quiet because he's a quiet, and he was quieter. And he didn't explain to me, but the Holy Spirit showed me that something was wrong.
Yes.
And I went in my closet, and I realized that it was the evaluation that he got, you know, and they did not give him a good raise after 19 years there, faithfully. Went in my closet January 2008. That's where I pray. I said, Lord, you have done so much things for me. I can't even tell you all of them, girl. We have to talk off air.
Oh, yes.
And I want you to move my husband from Siemens, Lord. And I'm doing my home care, and I was doing well in Florida. And I said, I go to this elderly place, and my husband usually goes with me sometimes because sometimes the elderly have little things to do, little bad thing to put up and so on, and nobody don't do it for them. And I will say, honey, come and do this for them. And when they want to pay him, I would say, no, we just do it as our volunteer situation. No charge, you know. Put up their little arch rails for them, you know, hang up something for them that they can't reach and I can't do. I would call him and say, honey, come and do this, you know. Their wheelchair maybe would want to straighten up or something. And I would say, honey, can you come? And he would say, okay, give me 10 minutes or so, you know.
Wow.
So I said, Lord, when I go into some of these elderly, their pantry, their kitchen cabinets and so on need to be repaired. And my husband loved to do woodwork. Lord, can you just let me start having some contract about it? It was January. I said, let us have about 6 contract. And then October, it was the 20 years, so David can retire because he'll get his pension if he retires after 20 years. And then we can have 6 contracts from October to December so it can carry us through. And I said to God what to do. Instead of asking him what he wants us to do, I'm telling him, put in
place. Right.
But listen, listen to God. His friend who was here in Texas some years before him and working with a company called BAE System, and they're doing very well. I've been calling him all the time and said, come to Texas because it's better than Siemens, because he was there. And David said, oh, no, I don't want to leave Florida. No, I'm not coming to Texas. But April, after I started praying to God, I started praying in January every morning. April, he called him and said to him, listen, BAE System is hiring, and they are paying a good amount, twice of what you're making in Florida. Do you want to come? He called me and he said to me, honey, Art says that BAE System is hiring again and they're going to pay a good pay and so on. Mm-hmm. And I have learned that I am supposed to be the humble wife and let my husband be in charge. And I said to him, honey, is that what you want to do? And he says, yes. And I said, well, go ahead. He applied Daphne on Monday, and by Thursday they hired him. So I thought they were going to get a little time. They hired him, and within 2 weeks he had to be in Texas. Oh, my God.
My God.
I started bawling out to God and said, God, I asked you to move my husband, not to move him from Florida, 16 hours away by car. How am I going to manage? And, girl, he was going to be going 2 weeks' time, and I started bawling and bawling and bawling and bawling. The Wednesday before he left Flo, he came home from work the evening, and I was sobbing. He was in the we had a little office, and he was in there doing, and I was sobbing, and he looked at me and said, honey, if you don't want me to go, if it's going to tear you up so much, I won't go. I just called him and said, don't go. But Daphne, when I saw the offer that they offered my husband, when I saw how his shoulders lift up and he started walking like a man again, I couldn't do that with my husband.
Wow.
And I said to him, it's okay, just wait. The night I went to bed, I was sobbing. He went to bed and he snores and he was snoring. 2 o'clock in the morning, I got up and I went in my closet and I said, God, I cannot do this. You have to take away this pain from me. You have to take away. I'm dying. My heart is going to break. If it is your will that my husband go to Texas, you take away this pain from me. I was crying. I stayed in my closet for an hour and I fell asleep. And Daphne Clark Hudson, when I got up, 3 o'clock, when I woke out of my sleep, the pain was gone.
My God.
The Holy Spirit answered and assured me that that's where he was to go. And I'm telling you this because I woke him up in the morning at 3 o'clock. I touched him and I said, honey, you can go to Texas. He said, what? I said, the Holy Spirit has assured me that's where he wants us.
Yeah.
And Daphne, I'm getting to the end of the story. He came here and he was here 6 months and I couldn't deal with it. So we decided after 6 months we move up here. He came in May and we moved in December. And since then, my business I have not gotten one client because it is so competitive here. I got a few clients, but it's now not moving as how I should move. And Daphne, I keep saying I still have my business on the books. I still have it going. I'm not removing it because guess what I said? God told me to do this business.
That's right. That's right.
I will not close it until he says close it.
And here we are on this radio show talking about all of that. And you know something? When did you, because I don't know what your spirituality was when we were in school, but when did you develop this strong relationship with the Lord?
1993, I started the walk with God. And I did so well in Kingston. When I left Jamaica, I didn't have to leave. I did so well because I went into insurance. I can't even tell you all my achievements because I went into insurance with Life of Jamaica. Did very well. I left Jamaica, I had two new cars, live in New Kingston, bought a house, do everything. And God stripped me off. He didn't strip me. He took me away because a friend of mine, husband died, and he wanted some comfort in Florida. And he asked me to come. Long story short, I came, and this is where God wanted me to be. Coming here, Flo, Daphne, I have to tell you about the things that God has done in my life.
Yes.
And I remember when I was living in an apartment, God removed me and took away everything from me because I had gotten haughty. I started walking with him, and I get so haughty and proud because I'm doing well. And I remember when he took me away from Jamaica. What I have in Jamaica, I can't bring it here.
That's right.
I have to leave it. And I was on my face one morning and crying out and said, God, you took me from my comfort. And the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, I want you to be completely dependent on me.
Yes, my God.
With no money, no friends.
Thank you.
Every Saturday, I usually be going to do my nails and my hair and get my massage. I was living in Kingston. I have a helper. And, you know what I mean? Life is just sweet and fun and just flowing.
My God.
And the Holy Spirit said, you are not at the place that I want you to be with
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Total surrender.
My God. My God. My God.
But I'm telling you.
I don't know. Somebody, this show is for so many people. I don't know where they are. But this episode today is not by accident. Everything, even from the reading that I read at the top of the hour,
yes.
when Gail said it was such a benefit to her to hear that.
If you hear her story, how God has shown me her husband, I have to tell you that off of you. And my faith, how God gave me her husband. I have to tell you, he said to me, total surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, Lord.
Yes.
I said, surrender. He said, I don't want you to be dependent on any friend or your money that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Total surrender on me.
Mm-hmm.
And Daphne, I said, yes, Lord, I will surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally surrender my life right now to him.
Thank God. Thank God. Because, you know, I was born and raised in the church. I used to go to the Moravian church. And
I know you were walking with the Lord when, you know, yes.
Yeah, so. And when I was done in nursing school, I was going to Moravian church up in Irving and all of that. And at one time, too, now I look back, I realize I was seeking and searching. Because then I started going to Unity up on Dome Street, up there behind Overton Plaza.
Yeah.
That was when I began learning about meditation and all of that. And I did not understand about the relationship and God until I came here.
Yeah.
It's not about the religion. It's not about where you worship. Even if you go to the park and stand up outside on that grass and never have a roof over our head, I still have a relationship with God.
Yes, I'm telling you, when I surrender,
I want to thank you for sharing this experience with the listeners. Because as I say, somebody needs to hear this. Somebody must hear this. We have approximately 13 minutes remaining. And I want to give you an opportunity to just summarize this conversation. And, just tell the listeners what you want to leave them with. You know, whatever the Spirit tells you to tell them. Just because I'm sure I'll have you back on the air another time, you know. But just take this time to summarize, please.
Listeners who are out there who are listening to me, I just want to let you know that don't be discouraged with your lowly or small beginnings. Because God uses small beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And if you trust him, if you just let go of yourself and let go of the pride, and let go of the people who are sowing the wrong words in your life. And hold on to what God says. Because what he says, if he says he's going to do it in his word, he will do it if we just trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I have gained so much from Daphne. I have seen the person, the woman who God has appointed her to become. That she is becoming. She's not fully there yet.
Mm-hmm.
She's walking that road, and she's going to be there. She's on the right path. She's doing, and she's obedient to God. And because of God's obedience,
mm-hmm.
many who are listening to our voice today will be making a change, will be changing the path. It does not matter what you think about yourself. And because we never knew that God was going to use us today and
mm-hmm.
use the program
mm-hmm.
to touch life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My life has been truly touched and blessed today, Daphne, because of that. This is a blessing. You have certainly blessed me.
Thank you.
So I appreciate it. And I'm giving God the praise for using you as he has used you today. And I want to encourage you, don't stop.
Thank you.
Don't give up. Continue. Because this is his platform for you. It's not about you, but it is because of the platform that he has given you. It's about him. And this is his purpose for you. So you continue this part.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to add, we have 10 minutes remaining. And what I want to tell my supporters and listeners, never say never.
Never.
Because when we look back at 1968 to 1970, 70. If anybody had told us that this was going to happen to today, we would have call up Bellevue Hospital to have them admitted.
That's right.
Because if it was up to both of us, this would not happen.
Oh, praise
the
Lord.
We weren't in the same clique. We weren't close friends. We shared a classroom together.
Yes.
But what happened today is profound.
It is
profound. And I too want to just tell God, thank you, Father, for using both of us in this humble way. And I want to say yes. You know, as a matter of fact, I want to close. Maybe I can play them both, but I want to play this song because it's important. So just listen to this song, Rahima.
Ask the person next to you, would you still say yes? Really need from thee. say yes. So just say
yes.
Open up your
heart
and tell the Lord yes.
I want to encourage you, whoever you are, wherever you are, whether you listen live or on the archive, there's something that you are called to do. I want
you
to say, whatever it is,
there is more that I require of you.
Said, don't be afraid of men and their faces.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Hey, hey.
Surrender.
He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place.
I want to encourage you.
I'm calling you out of your dry place.
Are you there?
Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Higher, I'm calling you. I'm predestining you before the world begins to do my will. To do my will. He's calling you higher. He's calling you higher. He's calling you. He's calling you. No man can work. I'll do the will.
Daphne? Hello?
Yes.
Who is that?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
What's the name of the person that sings?
I don't know. I have to find out and let you know.
Wow, that's a good.
And that's not my regular closing song. I normally close with Destiny, but the Spirit wanted me to close with that this morning. So I'm just so thankful. I am just so thankful. Stay blessed. I talk to you off here.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher. So much more. So much more.